going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
This hour is being brought to you by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Groats has been a busy man. He was on Rahimi and Harris earlier today. Then he went and did the Take the North podcast, and now he is here with us. He's wearing his Take the North podcast shirt, for those of you who are on Twitch, and now he is here with a Bears hit, two words.
I want to thank both of you two for appearing on Take the North today. It was great to have cameo appearances. I decided today, since I did the midday show, you know what? I'm just going to hang out today. We got to do the podcast in 45 minutes, and then I'm going to jump on with you guys. So I'm like, I'm just going to hang out. I'm doing a 9-to-5 shift here today. I thought the safest place to go would be the afternoon show office because you guys are on the air right now. And instead, Chris Tannehill made a cameo as well, all three of you at separate times, which makes sense. I mean, you've got stuff back there. You got your bags back there. You had your little grape and cheese thing or whatever you got going on back there.
Spiel. I did indeed, yeah.
Yeah, you had that. So I was like, yeah, this is... And eventually, Weeder's like, what's going on? I go, well, I am in their office right now. So thank
Lance
you for letting
me... Lance has a locker. I have an office.
Yeah, I made my Lorna Doone run. I have my Lorna Doones in the desk, and usually around 4 o'clock, I went and got them.
I enjoyed you guys coming. It's a podcast, of course. I'm always like, yes. We don't have to be quiet. The natural sound is fine. Come on in. You
and
know?
It's it gives people the impression that you know it's a big happy family here at the Score. We're all working together. We're all just kind of invading each other's spaces.
I promise
good
you,
healthy thing.
I promise you that the people watch. Like, hey, Lauren's home. It's Matt Spiegel.
Of course.
The background. So when I say thank you, I mean it. Thank you for coming on the podcast, and thank you for allowing me to use your office, even though you didn't technically say I could use your office. But
no, we're
cool
than happy.
Like that. I figured that would be the case.
It's pretty easy. Even if you would have taken a Lorna Doone, you could have had that. That's fine.
You know what? I was too invested in the grapes and cheese that were back there with Spiegel.
Very healthy.
It's a good mix. It's a good mix. The cheddar and the sweet grapes.
Yeah,
I recommend it highly.
It actually is. Mm-hmm. It is very neat the way you put it together. So.
Did you have like I and some others did, like kind of a frustrating experience with some of the draft picks and then were able to contextualize it and feel better about it? Was that your process at all?
I was just talking about that. It was one of the first things I said on Take the North today, as a matter of fact, Speaks. You and I are thinking along the same lines because even when they drafted Colston Loveland, I mean, that wasn't the tight end that I thought that they were targeting. I thought it would be Tyler Warren, and I had talked myself into Tyler Warren. I did not like Colston Loveland. I'd heard from enough guys in the last 2 weeks to know that that's a good product who was running up the board. board. But yeah, it took me a second. But when you take a second, you do look at it, and everybody directed me, say, watch how this guy separates. He does separate. He's a little small, but that doesn't really bother me as much, because if you could get like this third, like hybrid wide receiver, Jimmy Graham in his prime type, then that's a pretty good thing right there. So in the case of Colston Loveland and a lot of these guys, it was like that for me, that you could talk yourself into it. I'll just give you one more guy and one more example of your point, Spiegel, the Luther Burden III. I didn't think they were going to draft a wide receiver in the second round, their first pick in the second round, 39 overall, but who is any of us to say the Bears have enough wide receivers? They've never had enough wide receivers.
Well, let's talk about that from a practical standpoint, and this is what Ryan Poles had to say about there maybe being too many mouths to feed.
It's a good problem to have, but how do you manage all the mouths you have to feed on offense now with all these different skills guys that are going to want some run in the offense?
Yeah, you know, that's something Ben and I have talked about. I know that's something he can handle, and he's going to have conversations with the guys about, just in terms of being selfless and doing what's best for the team. You know, we got to win football games, and I know that the more talent you have on the team, the better your opportunity is to win games. And we haven't won a lot of games here, so yeah, things might be a little bit different. You may not be the only person, but at the end of the day, the goal is for us to win. And in the contracts, all of that stuff, that takes care of itself when you win. And actually, that's my biggest fear is winning here more than it is anything else, because that's when it gets really hard. And I've lived that in Kansas City before I came here, and I've seen that same conversation. There's one ball, and someone's going to be hot one week, another person's going to be hot the next, and we got to support that person. If that means you're blocking, whatever that means, you got to do your part to your highest level so that we can win football games.
That's team sports, right? Teaching these guys to control their egos a little bit, whether they have too many mouths to feed or not. It's the use of the weaponry and the fear of all of that that's going to make the offense click.
I scribbled down here, managing egos. That's what Ryan Poles is going to have to do, and to a much higher degree, Ben Johnson is going to have to manage these egos. And we're really going to put the players, if everything works out the way they want it to, where you're able to spread the ball around, well, the theory that we're really going to be putting to the test this year, especially as reporters, because we're the ones asking the questions, is when they always say to us, like, hey, I'll do anything the team needs me to do. I'm a team guy. I just want to win. I'm about winning. Well, we're going to see if that is the case. I do understand from a player perspective, because Ryan Poles even brought it up, the contract part. Everybody's playing for that second contract. I get it. I do think that to some degree, he's right. Like, winning, everybody becomes more valuable when you're winning. The coaching staff becomes more valuable. The players become more valuable. But it's really going to be tested this year for not just for Luther Burden and Colston Loveland, but we're talking about for DJ Moore, for Roma Dunze, Cole Kmet. How much longer does Cole Kmet want to go through games where he's only getting three passes thrown to him or none?
Well, I got some bad news for Cole Kmet.
Well, yeah, but I think that he becomes, believe it or not, more comfortable with Colston Loveland. And he's not going anywhere, by the way. His job is safe. Cole Kmet will be there. You know, if it's another year like last year, then maybe we talk after this season. But for the time being, I don't think anybody has to worry about Cole Kmet not being part of this thing this year.
Speaking of Loveland, let's talk about this cowboy from Idaho and hear what he has to say about his rodeo experience.
Yeah, that was early on. It was like third to fifth grade, maybe, I think. And I was doing like, it was junior rodeo, so I was doing like goat tying, goat flanking, riding calves, steers, like nothing too crazy at all. But yeah, stopped at fifth. It was like fifth grade. I remember talking to my mom, and I was like, man, she's like, do you want to go buy horses, trailers, saddles, and all this? You just want to keep playing football, basketball, the other sports? I was like, yeah, you're right. We'll just stick to that. So that's how that ended.
Last night, Ryan Poles described you and said Idaho tough. What does that mean to you?
I think it means just, like, where I'm from, really Idaho as a whole is just, like, all everyone does there is just work, and like seeing how my parents grew up and they just worked their butts off, and everyone in the community, very blue collar. I think it's just a different lifestyle out there, and I'd say that's what Idaho Tough is. Yeah, it's just growing up that way, it's different. I wouldn't say a lot of people were built for it, but I think it's a blessing to come from there. I learned a lot of lessons, and it's going to take me a long ways.
We talked about your hands, and you mentioned something about putting up wire fences.
Yeah.
Was that a common floor for you?
Yeah. We'd always, my brother in the back too, we'd always lay fence down, build fence. So you lay it down in the winter. But most of the time it breaks anyway, so you got to put the fence back up. But yeah, like if you ever played with some barbed wire, it's tough. It'll rip you up for sure.
I tell you, on the south in the South Loop, sometimes I lay down fence and I gotta pick up the fence and put it in another place. And damn, Idaho Tough, baby.
Look here, you city slicker. I don't want to hear none of that from
none
you.
Of that.
You don't know bleep
don't
from
know
apple
nothing
butter.
About nothing.
Well, have either of you guys been to Idaho?
Not once.
No, I'd love to go though. They got like potatoes there.
Alex,
you know
you've
like
been
potatoes.
To Idaho?
Alex, long time. Alex Kuhn, long time Idaho guy.
I've driven through Idaho.
Oh, nah, you haven't. Now you're
the
lying.
Best I got. Stayed. I stayed a night there near Boise.
Okay,
you know,
mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
This time of year?
That's the Canadian Rockies, right? Like, isn't that the Canadian Rockies come down
yes.
through Idaho?
That was Larry Walker.
That's oh, yes. that's true. Yeah. That's very good.
Now,
Tanner.
Is that where Fargo is?
Thanks,
Pete. The
nothing.
Idaho?
I got nothing for you.
It was for you.
Here you go. Here are the players from Idaho, according to Ranker.com. Brock Osweiler. Shea McClellan from Idaho.
Oh.
Brock Forzey.
Chicken Dinner Road. That's
yeah.
right.
Brock Forzey. Merrill Hodge, Idaho born.
Oh, nice.
Jake Plummer. Leighton Vander Esch.
That's a really good list of players.
It really
Taysom
is.
Hill.
Idaho Tough is real.
Yeah, man.
I was just getting ready to say it. When are we going to end the Tough moniker for every single city that
Never.
Exists. Boston Tough, Chicago Tough,
Amen.
Idaho Tough,
Never.
Southside Tough.
Southside Tough.
We are Chicago Tough. We show up.
You're damn right. We'll kick your ass, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
You did a show, a podcast, and now this.
Yeah, that's right.
You're busy.
I walked right down the hallway. I do think that there is a good line of the country strong that is going on. It sounds good with football, doesn't it? Like, he's doing rodeos, and he's riding cowboy and all that kind of stuff. That stuff seems to move well into football. So I do like the way he talks.
You like the way I talk?
Yeah, mm-hmm. French fried taters.
I like them French fried potatoes.
Ooh, that was good.
Thank you very much.
That's very good.
It's one of my few.
Yeah,
right now,
right on.
Yeah, Alex Kuhn is working on. What do you have in Mel Kiper? You're working on a Mel Kiper. What do you got?
I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah,
no, I did this with Grody on the clock. It's the impersonation of. You remember Frank Caliendo doing the Mel Kiper? So
yeah.
It's the impersonation of Frank Caliendo.
Just do it already.
Okay.
Todd. What are you talking about, Todd?
That's pretty good.
It's not bad,
it's
actually.
The Todds are just spot on,
yeah.
man. And somehow it came across my timeline on Instagram the other day on the stories, just the way it mysteriously does, and I immediately shot it to our guy.
Still my favorite Frank Caliendo moment.
It's pretty hilarious. It really is funny. Todd. It's so good. Now I'm doing Alex Kuhn's impersonation of...
Yes, you are.
Right.
Now
it's sign of a good impersonation, isn't it, Mark? We all do your impersonation.
They switch the samples.
We can make Provasic. Yeah. I've changed it. Yeah.
All right, let's talk running back here, and let's talk about the new guy that is in the running back room for your Chicago Bears. Here's what Ryan Poles had to say.
Yeah, I've always felt that. I mean, every draft has, like, just pockets that you just don't fall into. And again, if you're going to be disciplined and you're going to let the board kind of dictate how you do things, it just happens that way. So because of that, you end up in some really cool situations and really acquiring talented players. It might come from a different position that maybe you would have liked to. But at the end of the day, you're increasing the talent on your football team. And I do think you can get into a lot of trouble if you start trying to manipulate things to get into certain pockets where you end up hurting your team long term.
So it was an interesting phenomenon that it would seem to be like, oh, we want a running back. Oh, God, he's gone. All right, let's trade down. Oh, we want another running back. And oh, God, he's gone. Let's trade down. And okay, like it seemed that it happened three different times. The trade downs all may have been related to running backs they like, or is that just our perception?
Well, no, I think that like where the Where there was smoke, there was fire. Is that how you say that? The Ash and Genty stuff was real. I don't know how, after maybe their first offer, how steadfast they were in going after Ash and Genty, but I do think that was real.
Henderson and Judkins were both gone by the time 39 and 41 came about.
Yeah, well, hey, Travion Henderson, like, I think that was a guy that you could have circled, that the Bears were most interested in. But look at it. He ended up going, yes, he went 38, and then the Bears took Luther Burden III out of Missouri at number 39. Did they try to move up? I don't know. My guess is that they probably did try to move up and probably were not able to. Because, I mean, and I don't know about Quinshon Judkins, but I would say that, yeah, I think that Henderson was somebody that they desired. Their plan probably was to get a running back, and it just didn't work out. It just kept on falling out of their hands.
If you have not, because I know that you've been busy actually producing content today, when you get a chance, you need to see the Steve Smith breakdown on Burden.
Okay.
It's worth your time.
I will look forward to that.
All right.
Steve Smith.
Yeah, it's good. It's him and Jim Palmer, and James Palmer, not Jim Palmer. James Palmer, and they're talking about him, and it's good content to learn more about the type of player he was at Mizzou.
By the way, better wide receiver as in their careers, Terry McLaurin, Allen Robinson. I only ask you this because the last time I talked to Steve Smith, one of the only times I talked to him, was when I was doing the sidelines, and he was there for the broadcast, and so I was asking about Terry McLaurin.
I love Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, no, he's terrific.
Allen had a good run in Jacksonville.
And then it just ended.
It just ended fast. And still with seemingly enough athleticism for it not to just end.
Well, remember,
he's still only 31.
It's amazing. Crazy. And we kind of blame Justin Fields for that. Like, we're all over. Where's the chemistry between those two? It just seemed like a dud. But I hate to say, I think that was on Allen Robinson. As good as he was, one of the best wide receivers the Bears have ever had.
Wow. When you really look at the numbers, Groats is right. In 19, Allen Robinson for the Bears, 1,147 yards, 7 touchdowns. In 20, 1,250 yards, 6 touchdowns for Allen Robinson.
Yeah, he was terrific.
And all those great years in Jacksonville, but that was mostly because of Blake Bortles' excellence.
Yeah. No, he had 1,400 yard year.
He had a 1,400 yard year, and the rest of his years in Jacksonville weren't as good as his best 2 years with the Bears.
Who was the other wideout in Jacksonville? There were two of them that were both real good. And they were both big and rangy.
Keenan McCardell.
Oh, God.
Big and rangy.
That's sad. When Allen Robinson was there, there's another one that was there that was good. Damn it. I'll work on that.
Forget.
You work on that while we talk about Shamar Turner.
You finally get a chance to get to your guy, Lawrence. You called this one the other day.
I really, really like Shamar Turner. And I think that he's got a level of nasty to him that is going to be significant for the Bears' defensive line. And that nasty did play out last year in a game where he hit him in the ding-ding. This was him talking about hitting an offensive player in the ding-ding.
So first of all, congratulations, man. Welcome to Chicago.
What's up, Herb?
As soon as they pick you, we start looking for clips, and one of the other reporters posted a video of Ole Miss, Ole Lyman kind of standing over you. You don't like dudes standing over you with a crotch in your face, huh?
No, sir, man. Hey, you know, take your wins with your losses, man. Was placing my hands instead of putting them on them. He knocked him down. It was a good play on him. Just got to do better on that one, bro. Can't happen no more. It ain't going to happen the next level, bro. We gonna get paid. We're going to get right.
Dan Weeder?
Oh, man. Playing with an edge, being an edgy guy, playing with fire like that is always good. But, you know, you got to know how to control it, and you can't let it control you. So I feel like keeping it at a certain level, like right on the line. I can stay right on the line, but just don't cross it. And, man, I have a great career, bro. Great career.
I brought it up.
You want to see some fun tape? Go watch his tape.
Shamar Turner's tape?
Yeah, watch it. He's a destructive player.
Of just ding-dings or more than ding-dings?
No. It's him, you know, throwing offensive linemen hither and yar. Like he's a good player. And I like that he understands kind of where the edge is.
Does he?
Well, he spoke to that.
Two questions for you if you got the time. One,
yes, sir.
Everybody has said violent, aggressive. What is your mentality when you step between those lines?
Bro, honestly, just to, like, just kill, bro. Literally just go go, bro. That's all I'm thinking about, bro. As soon as I touch the field, all I do is go, man. And I've been having that mentality since a kid, bro. I don't know what it is, bro. I honestly don't know, bro. It's just a fire inside me, bro. I don't know. Kill, though, and take their lunch money because they ain't. Offensive lineman really ain't worth nothing, bro. Oh. They really can't block me, bro.
Love the way this. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Me too. Yeah.
Oh my God. How do you not love Shamar Turner? Lawrence, you're telling me the tape is great? Listen to him. He wants to kill people.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That's what you want defenders to do.
And let me tell you, these things are cyclical. I think as we zoom out, we think about what happens in life. Somebody probably hit him in the ding-ding when he was young, right? I mean,
I don't think it's that deep. I think it was that man tried to stand over him, and he was like, oh, is that what? Exactly.
That's what you're going to get.
Maybe I'm not going to do that anymore.
A couple of interesting things about him. He used to play defensive end. He's had to put on weight. He's played the three technique spot, but he's played just about every position along the defensive line. I don't think he's going to be a starter. I don't think there's room at the end at this point for him to do that, but I do believe that he can eventually get into the rotation. So I like that about him. I like the fact, too, that I think he outbrode Keenan Allen. Remember when Keenan Allen, I think it was Weeder and I that were talking to him, and he just broed us up all over the place. That was incredible.
Just got to do better on that one, bro. Can't happen no more. It ain't going to happen the next level, bro. Hey, man, I have a great career, bro. I mean, it means everything, bro. You ain't got a little something to you, bro. So you always got to play with a little fire, with a little edge, bro. I feel like that's what makes football exciting, too, you know? Bro, honestly, just kill, bro. Go, bro. That's all I'm thinking about, bro, since a kid, bro. Bro, I honestly don't know, bro. It's just a fire inside me, bro. Offensive lineman really ain't worth nothing, bro. They really can't block me, bro. Bro, I'm really, like, I can get through anything. So, I mean, it feels good, bro. So it feels great, bro, to answer your question. Being a sponge, bro, with dicks, bro. Yeah, bro, being a sponge, as soon as I walk in, bro, not thinking I'm too good for anything they're saying or doing, bro, and coming in and soaking up everything from those guys, man. What I can bring, bro, is that fire, bro. Like, when I'm on the field, everybody gonna feel it, and I feel like I can make the defense a lot better, bro. It's gonna be good in Chicago, bro. That was my home, bro. And see it through, bro.
Thanks, Shamar.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Shamar.
God, I feel like going to a kegger right now, man.
Dude! Dude, what do you think, bro?
Is there a frat party going on Michigan today?
Don't bro me if you don't know me.
That's right. That's true. Actually, I feel very it's very endearing coming from him. It really don't ever change, man. Bro us up all the time. I love it.
Oh, Mark Brody. That's the text.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even get that. I thought somebody was just screwing up my name.
No. But look, the bro thing has descended. Seventh graders, I can speak as a dad of a seventh grader. Yeah. They're throwing around bros like crazy.
Shout out to my former producer, Anthony Durunda, over at NBC Sports Chicago.
What's up,
Anthony? He's over at CHSN now. But that's how like all of our emails or texts would go for football night in Chicago. It'd be like, hey, what's up, bro Flacco? You know, like.
What about bruh?
Is
there still a place for bruh?
Yeah,
only if Callie says it.
And not in my house.
Oh, okay, not at your house. You don't stand for bruh. Okay, yeah. You never have. Couple of things here, too. One other. I told this story on the Midday Show, but I'll tell it again because it's great, and it definitely centers on Shamar Turner. After he did his in-person interview with us, there are the bottles of water they put in front of all of the interview subjects. They put the Deja Blue Bears water up there, and at the end of it, he looks at us in the media. He goes, hey, can I take this water? Is that cool with you guys? It was like borderline adorable. Like, yeah, man, take two if you want.
So
get yourself a squirt.
Who's the Buffalo rookie receiver? The one that was just so charming last year? Because he did like a similar thing.
Okay. From Florida State.
Yeah, from Michigan State. Well, Florida State first, I think, and then Michigan State. That Keon
Clark.
Coleman.
Luke Newman.
Keon
Coleman.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Remember,
it was Keon Coleman.
He was like, wait, y'all got snacks? Can I have some of these snacks?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Y'all just got snacks up in here?
Right, oh, my God.
Free. Well, go ahead, man. Take two if you want. Go ahead. Just slid it over to him. Go ahead.
Hey, Mark, you've worked a long time today on a lot of different things, and that's why we want to ask you if you want to hang out for one more segment.
No, I'd like to go home right at this very moment. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. I'd absolutely stay for another segment. If you're being serious,
we are.
I'm happy to be here.
Here's why. Yeah. We don't want you. You don't have to report anymore. We just want you to react because there's some Bears Packers stuff.
Oh, I'm all for that.
Going on.
I'm all for that. Hey, man, I'll stay for the next two segments if there's some Bears-Packers stuff going on that I need to clean up.
One is plenty. Thank you.
We'll talk more with Groats, and we'll share the growing beef.
No, just one.
Between the Bears head coach.
So good.
And the Packers head coach.
Bring it.
And Clay Matthews. Bears.
And Clay Matthews. And Seth freaking Rollins.
Yeah!
Back after this in The Score.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I'm going to go off script here real quick, Roger, but I just got off the phone with the president, Donald Trump. He asked me to pass a message along to all 32 NFL franchises. So let me tell you what it reads here, all right?
Who's that talking?
Is that Clay
Matthews?
It says,
my fellow Americans, the Bears still suck!
Oh, wait a minute! No! Oh, no, you did it!
Go!
Double!
Go Pack!
No! Dave, you can't let this happen. Who? For God's sake,
sorry,
you coached the Bears.
I'm sorry.
Clay Matthews just made my list.
I am not sure that the president is fond of either Chicago or Wisconsin right now.
He's an odd duck to figure out, Lawrence.
Just saying.
He likes Clay Matthews, apparently.
Well, I mean, that's nice. So does Saquon Barkley, apparently.
Yeah,
they did a little golfing.
Yeah,
and the Eagles went to the White House and all that stuff. Yeah. But that wasn't the only trash talking that went on. And we'll get to the coaches in a second. But I feel like since that was a wrestler promo that was cut by Clay Matthews with a nice little swerve in there, I feel like Chicago's toughest Bears fan, Seth Rollins, deserves his opportunity to retort.
Green Bay, Wisconsin! Is that all you got? Come on, you can be louder than that! I know y'all mad because championship gold looks good on the blue and orange! But in all seriousness, Green Bay, we are in the shadow of Lambeau Field. And I love Lambeau Field. Because the king of the North, the best quarterback in the NFC North, Caleb Williams, is undefeated at Lambeau Field. And in case y'all aren't familiar with my game, let me remind you, I am a visionary. I am a revolutionary. I am Seth freaking Rollins. And I am here to tell you that with the 56th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the greatest franchise in the NFL, the Chicago Bears, select Ozzie Trapillo, tackle from Boston College. Let's burn it down and bear down, Chicago.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Thank you.
Let's go, Seth freaking Rollins.
Oh, way better than Clay Matthews and whatever that was.
Dare I say, friend of the show.
Yeah,
Seth
no, you
Rollins.
Say it. You go ahead and say it for sure.
Is he the Wikipedia guy?
No.
Is he Wikipedia you?
That's the other
guy.
Oh, okay.
That's the other guy.
How about the Packers?
They don't really read Wikipedia.
I was punk. I would never do that to Seth Rollins.
Did you guys talk about the Packers drafting Matthew Golden and an offensive lineman and thinking about Aaron Rodgers going, no! Yeah,
exactly what he would have wanted.
Yes.
I was sitting there just kind of chuckling to myself.
Totally.
And be like, now? Like, really? Now you do. Even you got a good crop of receivers there anyway, and you still go out there and draft. It was a pretty funny thing. But
God, he really enjoys himself being hated like that, feeling that hate come down, huh?
Yeah, it's kayfabe. Yeah. You know, he's doing it. He's doing the right thing. Now, here's the thing about it. Ben Johnson has been real chesty about what the Lions have done to the Packers, and
I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Yeah, that was in January at the opening presser. So he's
red meat, threw it out there for people,
and he hinted at it again another time.
Oh yeah, he gets the bit. So does Matt LaFleur. Here's what he had to say about Johnson on the McAfee show.
Yeah, we got a great division. You can't discredit what the teams have done, and I think Chicago's done a nice job of adding to their roster, and you get a good football coach, as he said himself, in Ben Johnson. And,
whoa.
Yes! So, yes! But, no, I do respect Ben. He's one of the best play callers in the game.
As he said himself, oh, man.
Guess ram what? It up your cram hole, LaFleur.
Bears need to get good to join this party. They're not in the party yet, but, man, if they join this party with the Packers and Detroit, and who knows, like every year we say this about Minnesota, who knows about Minnesota, get into that party. This could be a blast, boys.
They're leading with coaching swag, and the guy deserves to have it after the 3 years of offense he's put together in Detroit. I love that. It feels different. We haven't had this before in terms of a guy who truly believes that he's going to put this whole thing together, and I think he can put this thing together. I love that. I like it a hell of a lot better than Eberflus and LaFleur hanging out courtside at a Marquette game and Eberflus's haircut. Like, I don't care what Ben Johnson's haircut looks like.
No sign of the hits principle.
No, we don't need that. I don't care if he's a beekeeper.
No sign
seems to be a smart ass, like really good, thoughtful, strategic offensive coach. Let's go.
Will the HBO cameras be in Bears camp just for the hell of it? Get the pictures of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams working together, just like they insisted upon Matt Eberflus sitting down with, you see this, you see that? And Caleb's like, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
And
now.
You don't either.
Yeah.
You don't either.
He doesn't. That'd be great if Nick Saban came to town and Ben's like, yeah, no, we're good. Thanks, man.
And neither does your offensive coordinator while we're at it. By the way, low key question for you, Lawrence. When you said, when you used the word retort, is there a character in a movie that you think of when you think of the word retort?
Retort.
I believe it was Pulp Fiction.
Oh yeah, allow me to retort.
Retort. For some reason, when I thought that's where you were going, but that's where my
it's probably where my mind was.
Yeah,
allow
that's
me
a fun
to.
Movie.
Yeah, it really is. Daniel Norris loves that movie.
The Path of the Righteous Man is set on all sides.
Right. Don't dig on swine. All that stuff right there.
Yeah. Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, I'm here for Packers and Bears rivalry based on coaches.
Well, let's do this right now. The Bears going to beat the Packers twice this year, Matt Spiegel?
I called it last year.
I know you did. That's why I'm bringing that question to you.
I was a blocked field goal away from being right even last year.
Oh, my God. Did you feel like at that point, because you shied away from it all. I felt like, you know, the whole show was, and then there you were right there.
I leaked confidence.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You did, but you were almost right there, and boy, what a spin that was. I do put that, I think the Detroit loss on Thanksgiving Day and that one were the two worst losses for the Bears this past year. And we could play that game another day.
I mean, it's like somebody's got to take a step back if the Bears are going to take a step forward in that division.
It's always
I thought it was the Vikings last year, and it wasn't.
I know.
That coach just might be too damn good.
He might be too good. I have a lot of questions about their second-year quarterback.
Well,
a lot.
And you see which one they got. We talked about this the other day. I brought up all those names of possible quarterbacks who might move. And the one that I brought up, like, oh, how about this guy for the Vikings? And you stopped, and you're like, oh, maybe Sam Howell. He's there now.
Yeah, he is.
Is Sam Howell going to have a chance to be there? Sam Darnold?
He would have to really make some corrections because Sam likes to let it fly, man. He does not care. He is out here trying to make plays. I still think that they're in play for Rodgers.
Sure sounds like the Steelers are waiting on that.
Yep.
Everything they said surrounding that whole thing.
And what they did on draft
weekend.
What
they did, yeah.
You're like, oh, really? Oh, okay.
By the way, people have been asking about this. The rookie mini camp, not this weekend, but the following weekend is when we start to get to see some of this Bears in motion. So,
thanks, Groats.
Yeah, man.
Can't wait for that. Thanks for the yeoman efforts.
I know it's been a long day,
it's
man.
It's all good.
We appreciate you.
There's still light out. It's not that bad. It's all good. Thank you guys for having me on.
That is Mark Grody, who covers the Bears for us, and you're going to be able to hear him and see him a couple times a week with Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 here on The Score. We'll take a timeout, and when we come back, we found a writing critic. And I think that you should probably listen to this critic because he knows a lot. It's next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay.
See, we're full service, 670 The Score station.
Afternoons on The Score.
Speaking of Green Bay, do you have anything you'd like to say to Clay Matthews in reply?
I don't think Mitch Rosen would like what I would have to say. Clay Matthews on live radio.
Well, luckily, we got a good reply from Seth freaking Rollins to deal with him. But Olin did have some thoughts. He had some notes. Notes. That's what they call it in the literary world, right? He's got some notes for Ben Johnson and his poetic prowess.
Luther Burden heard a lot about him, right? East St. Louis, my two boys were in high school while he was coming up, and just heard about this receiver. Going to Missouri out of East St. Louis, got to watch him play. Hell of a football player, guys, man. Really good with the ball in his hands. He was good even in high school. He's been good through Missouri. He's a chess piece for Ben Johnson, right? And, you know, they did that celebration like Molly's talking about. I'm just waiting for the poem about Luther Burden. I'm sure that's coming out.
It's going to be a sonnet. Yes.
It's just, but.
So here's hoping. Let's hope that they have turned a corner and we're going to see a winning program.
Mm-hmm. Olin, do you think before
we go 12 years, right? Yeah,
that's crazy. Exactly right.
It's crazy.
If this coach could lead us to a winning season, how poetic that would be.
Olin, we got a minute left. Do you think Caleb Williams is ready for all that's coming at him?
Coach Johnson's talking about there's a stumble bum. I'm sure that was right before his beautiful poem. Anyway, Ben Johnson, he knows exactly what he wants to do with Loveland. He knows exactly the poem he wants to write with his new title.
I take it you weren't that impressed with the poetry.
Yeah, I'd rather not talk about it. I just want to mention it 100 times in the show.
That's very passive aggressive of you.
Yes, it is. It's extremely passive aggressive of me.
Yes,
hey, I mean... Oh, at least he can totally admit it that he's passive aggressively taking shots at the poetry.
I love Olin.
Of Ben Johnson. I mean, for a coach to be a nerd about numbers is one thing. For him to be a poet, I guess, is another. He can do everything. Our guy can do everything. This head coach.
Yeah, and he can throw out raw red meat to Bears fans about the Packers.
Man,
let him do his thing.
That is so funny. Are we still honeymooning? Is Ben Johnson still honeymooning?
Absolutely.
The draft, people are upset with some about the draft.
I don't think that.
Pretty mild, though.
I don't think that. Maybe in camp something happens and people are like, I don't know about this guy, but he's got a while before people are like, he doesn't know what he's doing.
One loss.
No, I don't think one loss does. I mean, it depends on the loss.
It depends.
He will lose a game. I don't want to spoil it for you.
He might lose 8 games. You know? 9-8.
It's very possible.
That's about where I have him.
10-7. I don't know where I'm going to go yet. I'm pretty excited.
You don't have to. It's April.
Hmm.
The schedule hasn't even come out yet.
May is when I do it, Lawrence.
May 14th.
Yeah. That's right.
Which for some reason the NFL needed to announce.
Thank God they told us.
Even though it was already out there that was the day of the schedule.
You know they had doing
very
it.
Very strange.
You know they had doing it. They had Laura Rutledge.
They did. And Colleen Wolfe.
Yeah. The other person was not Laura Rutledge.
Correct.
But
we were able to identify Laura Rutledge.
And not Laura Rutledge, who seems to be everywhere. Not Laura Rutledge works a lot.
Yeah, Colleen, both of them are really good at their job. And Laura, I think, is one of the best studio hosts in our game. Like, I know it's not as much time as Ernie, but I think that she is up there.
Whoa.
With Ernie
as
far
heavy.
As the amount of plates she has to spin for the show that she does every single day.
Krista Thompson's pretty good too, I think.
She's not bad
she's
at it
pretty
either.
Pretty good at TV.
It's a little different, like that thing that they have on Thursday night.
The giant pile of football humanity.
It's a lot. It's a lot that they got going on. But yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Ben is still in the honeymoon phase, and that'll last a good long while.
Tanny, how you feeling about these City Connect jerseys?
Oh, man. Yeah. I was hoping that the leaked photos that we saw them a couple weeks ago was not the actual jerseys. But, of course, it ends up being it. See, look, like, I get it. You're one of the few teams that has a brother basketball team that you can tie stuff in. But like, and I like the font, like the Bulls font is a pretty good looking, you know, text to put on a jersey. Why don't you just do your colors in a Bulls style? Or like I said, I think it was last week on the show, if you're going to you know, celebrate your 125th anniversary as a franchise, there are so many great uniforms over the years that the White Sox have had. Why don't you do one of those with like a modern spin on it? Like there's so many options, you know, like wife and I, we were in Macy's the other day and they had the 1972, the Dick Allen, the powder blue with the red cursive. Oh, that would be so mean if
That's
it was if they brought that back, you know what I mean? But the Bulls thing just seems a little... Yeah, I don't know. Not a fan.
I don't think they want to bring back the old ones because there's a chance you might have already purchased one of those at some point in your life. And the dream is everybody going out and buying the new one, like the Cubs and Crane Kenny talked about. They sold more in the first week than they sold in the entire first year of the last City Connects.
I do like the cap. The cap, I think, is strong.
Is that a flag coming off the Sox?
I think maybe it's like kind of like
a wing?
It might be like a Pegasus type
Yeah,
thing.
It looks like a Pegasus wing.
But they have used that logo for their 5K race on a lot of the merch for the 5K over there.
Mm.
I do like that. Like, I think the cap is strong, but I do think that the choice of it being a Bulls thing is oof. Mainly because there's still so much they could do just with black, white, and gray.
Well, to be honest, like, I didn't love the previous City Connects that everyone ended up loving, but it turned out to be that was like representative of an era of a really fun White Sox team for a couple of years there. So I grew to love them. So maybe the guys that are wearing these now will have us grow to love them.
I liked the gothic lettering on the old one and the black pinstripe. I liked them right off the bat, actually.
I think part of the reason that one played so well, Tanny, is because it was also like South Side. Like, we're like, forget about Chicago for a second. We're repping the South Side.
The next one's just going to be West Loop.
Well, these have
Arlington Heights.
These have like a band around the bottom of the sleeve that says South Side, South Side, South Side, South Side.
Yeah, but it was a proclamation. Like, these jerseys, South Side. So I don't like it. That's not for me.
Theoretically,
cap though is dope.
It reminds you of the kinship and the shared ownership with the Bulls, and this is not a good time for either franchise to remind its fans of the other.
That's a hard thing to separate yourself from, but I'm sure that this was in the works for a really long time. Thanks so much to our guests on the show today. Groats was fantastic, as per usual. We appreciate him and Mike Hall for stopping by the show. Is a lot of fun. People got some tickets, I noticed. That's really nice. Thanks to Alex Kuhn for the hard work that he did on today's show.
Tomorrow on the show, Nico Horner will join us right at 2:30, and Danny Parkins is going to be on this show with you and me at 3 o'clock.
For Alex, for Tanny, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show this show. We will try to repay the favor tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
Let's burn it down! And bear down, Chicago!